Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're going to read verses 3 and 4 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. In honor of God's word, would you please stand to your feet this morning as we read the word of God together? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for our opportunity to be here. Thank you for the health to be here. God, we pray that you'd work on our property today, not only in here, but all on our two buildings in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Be mightily this morning in the work. We need help this morning. And Father, for all that to be accomplished, we need to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So this morning I ask that you'd feel Pastor Johnson this morning as he comes and preaches to us. Use him this morning. Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from their sin, that this morning they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you my cell phone speech. Turn it off. Put it on vibrate. Make sure it does not go off during the service. If your cell phone goes off during the service, this screen will come down and your face will be up there with a big red arrow that says, that's the dude whose cell phone went off in the service. So please help us with that. We would appreciate it very much. I know some of you need a patch to get off your phone for 45 minutes, but try it. It will be good for you. I'm going to ask you now to sit still and listen very carefully. Life has become very complicated. The issues that we face in life have become very complex. We're talking about biblical answers to the issues of life, and that's what we've been covering the last several weeks. Please understand something this morning, one more time. When we give you the answer from God's word for the issue that we'll present to you this morning, that's God's answer. Not my answer, it's God's answer. Because the Bible is the only book God has ever written. So consequently, now listen, that means of all that he could have told us, of all the things that God could have told us, he put them in a book. It's called the Bible. And that means the answer from the Bible is God's answer. Now, can you think of a better source from which to get the answer you need in your life? See, there's no comparison to that. Please do not put the Bible on the same level as some human author in their book. People are crazy nowadays. Something comes up and they run and grab this guy's book about it, or that guy's book about it, or this woman, or that man, or this group, or that person, or whatever the case may be. And they're just, Bible says, it says they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because this is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So this is God's answer now. If you take it, embrace it, believe it, apply it, you will have God giving you the answer for that issue. And that's better than any other person that could ever give you anything. Don't go by what sounds good. Go by what comes from God. You cannot go wrong with that. And this morning, the issue is the complexity of our lives. How in the world did people ever function without a cell phone? How? How did they ever make it? How was it ever done on the planet Earth, where now you can have a cell phone that you can contact, you can go on the internet, you can watch movies, you can listen to music. It will tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, how long to do it, what color it should be. It's all in there. I mean, these phones are unbelievable now. It used to be just a cell phone to call someone. Now we've got iPhones and these phones that have, you know, you can turn it this way, turn it that way, and it'll show you. I mean, it's unbelievable. How people ever survived without cell phones. I'll never forget it. One day, riding down the highway on a bicycle on a rainy day, was a homeless guy. He had a plastic bag over his back for his raincoat, and he was talking on a cell phone. I thought, the poor man has nowhere to live, but he's got a cell phone. We're driving to the bush in Africa. Hadn't seen a soul forever. Drive past, there's a Maasai warrior out there with his spear, his brightly colored clothes, many gold chain necklaces on him with his spear, and they stand there on one foot like this because they stand there for hours. Tall guy, probably 6'8 or whatever it was. And he's out there watching his cattle, leaning on a spear in the middle of the bush in Africa, talking on a cell phone. I thought, where is the nearest antenna? I mean, or they got him on the top of the giraffes. Where is the antenna? I can't believe it. He's talking on a cell phone. Imagine what life was like when you actually called someone and got a human being on the telephone. Someone actually answered the phone. Instead of those irritating voicemails. I have them, you have them, all God's children got them. You get those irritating, stinking voicemails. Yes? This is my favorite one. This is the refrigerator. I don't have a voicemail, so if you want to buy me an answering machine, go ahead. Otherwise, get some ice cubes and hang up. That was their voicemail. Life has become complex. The world situation today is very complex. I think we understand the world's a mess, yes? It is. We've had 6,000 years of human history. We've had less than 100 years of peace in that 6,000 years of human history. America's situation is very complex today. The solutions are trying to be resolved by the people in leadership in this country, and it seems like all they ever do is throw money and paperwork at stuff nowadays, and they don't really seem to come up with the solutions to the problems. They just try to find out what people want, try and give it to them, and that somehow appeases the masses. America has become the Roman Empire just before it fell. But if we leave all the national and international things out, folks, our lives are very complex today, yes? And issues that we face seem to complicate our lives. And the Bible answer to complicated lives is simplify. Look at 2 Corinthians 11 in verse number 3. It says, and I want you to look at the wording. It says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. Now remember that. Through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And notice the analogy. He goes back to the Garden of Eden when there were two people, Adam and Eve. Would you say that Adam and Eve had simple lives? Huh? At the very beginning of everything, when God made a man and then formed him from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And when he opened his eyes in the creative place where God had made him, he saw the face of God. God took from that man a rib and made him a woman and brought her unto him. And the two of them in the Garden of Eden, a place God had made that was a beautiful place. And he had come to Adam. God had come to Adam and he said, now Adam, There's one thing you can't do. Could you imagine living in a society where there was just one thing you couldn't do? California will balance the budget if we nail all these people out there talking on their cell phone while they're driving down the road. Solve all the problems. But anyway, could you imagine living in a society where there's just one thing you couldn't do? How about just living in a society where you didn't have to worry about what you wore? It was a man and a woman, and they were married and they were alone, okay? Some of the rest you'll get that by slow freight. But the truth of the matter is, his wife never looked at him and said, does this make my hips look big? I mean, there were just the two of them. But the truth of the matter is, here's Adam and Eve. They're in a place. I'm sorry. Pay attention. So here they are. Now look, they're in a place. God has created them. God puts them in this place, the Garden of Eden. God determines that they will live forever. They will never grow old from the day of their creation. They'll never age a day from that moment. They'll never get sick. They'll never die. There will be no sin. Hey, and they have one rule. Let's put it this way. They had one thing they couldn't do. And it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God came to Adam and he said, now Adam, I'm going to put you into an intensive Bible study program where you have to learn the Greek and the Hebrew because of what I'm about to tell you. And Adam, I'm going to bring theologians across your path. They're going to teach you how to apply the rule that I'm about to give you, Adam. And here is the rule. Don't eat of this tree, because the day you do, you're going to die. He didn't need explanation. Adam got it. He got it right off the bat. Now there's one thing he can't do. He'll live forever. God came every day and walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And every day, the God who created him, he got to see his face every day. And he gives him a wife, and they're going to spend forever in the garden. They would have children, and their children would live forever. And it would just be an incredible place. Look here. And here they are. In what I would call the most simple form of life you could possibly imagine. And it wasn't out of primordial ooze. Huh? Eve didn't look like a monkey. And Adam didn't look like a monkey. Nobody came swinging out of trees and happened over trillions of years to show up. No. God created them in a perfect condition, in a perfect place, where they would live forever, and there was one rule, just one rule that they had to be careful not to violate, and God made it very simple. He says, you eat of this tree, you will die. Now, I understood it when I read it in Genesis. You understand it when I spoke it to you a moment ago. No complications here. No interpretation of law. Nobody's throwing lawyers at each other. We got it. You eat the fruit of the tree, you're dead. That's it. But then God also told him this. Now I've made this garden, and all the trees in the garden you can have. So it wasn't like it was the only tree. So he gives them trees and says one tree you can't have. So now he gives them abundance and just one little, look here, one little simple limitation. You can't eat of the tree. That tree. This tree, Adam, he points to it. This tree, Adam, you can't eat from this tree. For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He made their choice very simple. It was simple. Do what I say, you'll live. Don't, you're going to die. He made the consequences very simple. Violate what I tell you, Adam, and you will die. He would know the end of eternal life. So the consequences were huge. They were tremendous. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. How simple could life have been? Forever. With God in a beautiful place. No cemeteries, no graveyards, no jails, no hospitals, no death, no disease, no dying, no suffering, no sorrow. And all you have to do is just make sure you don't break the one stinking rule of this whole entire place, and you can have everything else and live here forever. Now, is that simple living, or is that simple living? Folks, you'll probably violate laws before you get out of the parking lot this morning. Yes? Because you don't put your seat belt on. Because as soon as you get out on the street, your phone goes off and you pick it up and you start talking on your cell phone. You go down to the stop sign down here at the corner and you'll roll the stop sign, California rolling stop. You mean to stop, but you don't actually do it. And you think, I'll stop twice at the next one. And whoop, go bossing through that because you got to hurry up and get the hometown buffet before they get all the fried okra. And you go busting on down the highway and the speed limit says 35 miles an hour. When you go 36, you broke the law. Good night, folks, before we can get home and have a sandwich. We'll have broken more rules than we could shake a stick at. Well, some of us. Some of you folks who drive really slow, I don't know what your problem is. But anyway, you're compensating for the rest of us. But the truth is, they have one law, folks, one law. And Satan comes and says, well, let's talk about that law for a minute. How come? Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree? Well, that's not what God said. And they knew, listen now, they knew what God said. God said one tree. He says, was it every tree? Now, what was the interpretation on that? What point of law was it he presented on this? How about the violation of your personal rights, pal? You can't eat from that tree. Eve is standing there. She's listening to the devil. Adam's standing over there like a good little boy, not doing what he's told. Seriously, if he got a stick and beat that snake to death, we'd still be in the garden right now. That's why God blames Adam for it and not Eve. But Satan engages her in a conversation and gets, listen now, puts a doubt in her mind about what God has told her when it was very clear. And says, yeah, you got to understand. Now listen, the reason he told you can't eat from that tree is because you'll be like him. And you'll be like God. And you'll get to make up your own mind about what you want. Listen now, carefully. And Eve looked at the tree and saw it was good for food, a tree to be desired, one to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, the Bible says. And gave it to Adam, and he ate with her, and life has never been that simple since. Now this message this morning is going to go over the head of some people in this room because you're going to think, well, Pastor John said, come on. I mean, do what the Bible says, life's not as complex, that's not how it works. No, the reason your life is so complex you can't handle it is because you're not doing what the Bible says. Now look here, look at me this morning. The truth of the matter is, God said, beware lest as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, he should corrupt your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now that's why our lives are so complicated today. That's why the issues we face in life, they seem so complex. Well, I've got this in my life and I've got that in my life and I don't know what to do. We have the source of all the I don't know resolutions in our life right here in our hands. And the simplicity of it all will resolve the issues. I did not say it would be easy. I did say it will simplify your life. It will do for you like it would have done for Adam and Eve. It will simplify your choices. I didn't say they would be the easier choice, but I did say it will simplify your choices. It will also simplify the consequences that you face in life. See, we think, well, I don't have to do what the Bible says. I can do what I want. And that's right. God gave you that free will choice. That's what makes us different than the creatures God has made. Animals live by instinct. We live by choices. But also, we must understand, God will let you make your own choices. He will determine how it turns out. And the consequences of us making our own choices gets very complicated. So we continue to violate the Word of God, it gets more complicated. And that's why the world's in the mess it's in today. That's why America's in the mess it's in today. And that's why you and I today, my friend, have complexities in our lives for which we seem to have no answers, but we're determined. Too many of us today are determined. We're still going to try to do it our way instead of do it God's way. You simplify things. Adam and Eve, had they done what God had said, we would be in an eternal place to this day. We would be in a place where there would be no sin. And there would be no sorrow, and there would be no suffering, and there would be no death, and there would be no war, and there would be no disease, and we would be in eternal place, and every day we also would be looking into the face of Almighty God. Let's realize that 6,000 years later, nothing's changed. Satan today has created the complexities of our life, and the problem with it is this. It's not the devil's fault. We're still doing what Adam and Eve did. See, every one of us have our choices to make in life. Every one of us. You have yours, I have mine. When we choose to do what violates the Word of God, get ready, your life is about to become very complicated. And man, does it ever mushroom and continue? It's like starting a little snowball on the top of Mount Everest, and it's a stinking landslide before it gets to the bottom. And it's a snow-covering landslide because we continue to make choices that continue to violate the Bible and continue to complicate our life. Now, frankly, we could go ahead and end the service right now and be done with it, because that's the issue, friend. The issue is this. I either try to resolve all of my problems with the complicated mess I am in that I made because I did it my way instead of God's, or I can say, okay, what does the Bible say I'm supposed to do? Follow the principle of the Word of God. And I guarantee you this will happen. Listen to me. Your life will simplify. Your choices will simplify. The consequences will simplify. Well, you mean if I do what the Bible says, everything turns out the way I want? Never said that, nor does God. But it'll turn out the way God determines. Sometimes that can be difficult, but not complex. 6,000 years later, nothing has changed. Our lives become complicated because we disobey the Word of God. Living by the Bible is not always the easiest way, but it does simplify my choices, and it does simplify my decisions. Do you ever realize, ladies and gentlemen, look here, do you ever realize how small the Bible is? I'm not talking about the actual literal size of this one. I'm talking about the Bible itself. Do you ever realize how small this is? From Genesis to the Revelation, do you ever realize how much it covers and how much it doesn't? But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It does cover everything, though. If God had to make a Bible big enough that covered every particular decision and choice you made in your life, you couldn't carry it around in an 18-wheel truck. But He put everything in here you needed to know to cover every decision and choice you have in your life. It's all in here. All of it. That's why Shasta Baptist Church is a Bible-preaching church. We're not going to waste our time with get up here reading a book from some author. You go to Sunday school class in this church, you're not going to sit around listening to what an author has to say. We're going to listen to the author from the book about what we need in our lives. We're going to encourage you to read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Get it into your mind. Get it into your heart. Get it into your life. Get it into your home. Get it into your marriage. Get it into your family. Get it into your business. Get it into everything you do in life. Let the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And here's what will happen. God's Word will help to simplify a complicated life. I grew up in a broken home. My dad was a Baptist preacher, ran off with one of the women in the church. Mother turned to drink, and she became a drunkard and married a man who was a bartender and a drunk. And I lived in many towns in Northern California, and this one here too, by the way, when I was a boy, in a drunkard's home. So I grew up with the baggage of a broken home, broken family, abuse, and all the stuff that goes with it. So I understand the complexities that come to life, and some of them we did not bring upon ourselves, but the Word of God still has the answer, and the Word of God still helps us to resolve these things. And now my life is nothing like what I was raised. Nothing. It is totally different than that. Well, Pastor Johnson, what was your program? It's called Get the Bible, Believe the Bible, Read the Bible, Do What the Bible Says. And that book right there, friend, fixes it. You understand that? That book will fix it. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is light unto our path. It is bread for our souls. It is water for our lives. It is light for our path. It is foundation for our feet. Lifts us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon a solid rock. That's the Bible. And establishes our going. And it put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. That's the Word of God. Our lives are complicated and complex with issues we can't even see the hope of understanding how to get out of. But I guarantee you it's because we left the Bible out. Because that book right there, friend, that book right there will resolve those issues for you. They won't make it. Listen, it's not like a lamp you rub and a genie pops out and boop, you get all the stuff. It's a book that tells you what God says your next decision should be and what your next choice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can you imagine that? In one little short verse of Matthew 6:33, God sets the priorities of life. Seek first God's kingdom. That's the will of God. That's found here. And his righteousness. That's the right thing. That's found here. And God will take care of all the things. Now look at me this morning. And what we do with our lives is we try to determine what we think is the right thing, what we think we should do, and then we make decisions and choices based on what we want to do. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, and we got a complicated mess today. And we mess up relationships, and we mess up lives, and we mess up our futures, and we mess up our present, and we don't deal with our past, and everything is a mess. It's just a mess. If I did not believe, ladies and gentlemen, that book had the answer for everything in life, I wouldn't do what I do today. But I've seen what God's word can do in a person's life. And I've seen what their life can become without it. And life gets so complicated. We simplify our lives because we follow the word of God. We complicate our lives because we ignore it. Example. Why are there so many religions today? Where did this mess ever come from? All the churches, let's just talk about the Christian churches now. We don't talk about the non-Christian religions. Just the Christian church. Good night, nurse. You know there's 2,200 somewhat Christian religions today? 2,200. What? There's Catholics and there's Protestants and there's Baptists, and we're Baptists, we're not Protestants. And we're Catholics. I said we're Baptists, we're not Protestants. And we're Catholics. There's Catholic, Protestants, Baptists. Then you got your religions, your Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and that bunch of group over here. They got all the, then they got all the little splinters that come off of those. The Protestants are just people who were Catholic at one time, and then they protested the Catholic Church, came out and formed their own movement. That's why they're Protestants. We didn't do that. Baptists were never part of the Catholic Church. We were there before the Catholic Church existed. And we continue on. But Baptists have splintered over the years and gone into different kinds of groups. And all, what in the world? What in the world is a poor soul supposed to do who's looking for a good church to go to? Well, you got to play hometown buffet. Ooh, doesn't that sound good? You got to play hometown buffet. You got to go around and sample them all. Well, I tried this one, and I tried that one, and I went to the raisin, and I went to the grape, and I went to this one, and I went to that one, and I like the music over here, and they got a good show over there, and I got one of these, and I got one of those. And people don't seem to even know what they're looking for anymore. Now they go into a church, and they're just trying to find something that appeals to them. Oh, so like you choose an article of clothing. But where did all this stuff come from? Look in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse number 4. Here's the answer to this one, and this is not where the whole sermon is, but look at 2 Corinthians 11, now verse 4. After he warns us about this, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that's in Christ, corrupt your minds from that. Look at verse 4. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Oh. See, the religions of the world today, all these different Christian religions come because they preach a different Jesus than the Bible's preached and taught. They preach a different spirit than the Bible preaches and teaches. They preach a different gospel than the Bible teaches and preaches. It's that simple. The Jesus of the Bible is virgin born, sinless life, died on the cross, went to the grave, rose again the third day, the Son of God and God the Son, has ascended back to the right hand of the throne of the Father on high, and is waiting for orders to return to take us home to be with himself. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Now the Jesus of religions today, oh my soul, we got the social Jesus, we got the political Jesus, we got the Jesus as I know and understand him Jesus. We got all, everybody, when religions are founded because people don't like the Jesus of the Bible, so they make up their own Jesus. Oh, they'll say his name, but when they say Jesus, they're not even talking about the same person. When a liberal person of theological belief talks about Jesus, he believes he's the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier. That's what Robert Schuller down in Garbage Gulch believes. Illegitimate son of a Roman soldier. Not virgin born. Because that can't be. You can't have a virgin birth. That's impossible. No, it's called a miracle. Never happened on the history of mankind since, nor ever has been. That separates Jesus. See, that virgin birth is very important. All the religions are just a creation of their own Jesus. So they'll take him and they'll have a cross and they'll put him up there and leave him on the cross. No, he's not always crucified. He was crucified. Now he is risen again. Well, then you got a problem with the resurrection Jesus now. The resurrected Jesus Christ died, went to the grave, raised himself from the dead 3 days and three nights later. That's also a miracle. It's a divine, almighty work of an almighty God. That Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus who came out of the grave, but his teachings were the ones that were risen. Not the Jesus who swooned and they laid him in a tomb and he passed out and he came out 3 days later and married Mary and they had seven kids and drove a station wagon. Not that Jesus either. See, the religions are just because they come to what the Bible says and they won't embrace just what the Bible says. Look at me. That's why you go to these churches and they have so little Bible in them. Because there's not enough what they believe to prove be proven by the Bible, so they don't use the Bible either at all or very much, or they have another book or another testament of Jesus Christ or another author or another writer or another piece of material. They can't just use the Bible. That's another Jesus. That's another spirit. They don't preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 to 3 tells you what the gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. You don't live the gospel. You don't portray the gospel. You believe the gospel and you proclaim the gospel. That's the gospel, pure and simple. It's not the gospel of getting involved in political movements. It's the gospel of preaching Christ and lifting him up and telling people Jesus saves. See, look here. That's the simplicity of all the religions. They can't prove what they prove by the Bible, believe what they believe by the Bible, and what they declare is not by the Bible. That's not a good book. It's not a good religion. You've gotten the wrong spot. So you can lump them all into just two simple categories. Do they stand on the Word of God alone? And the authority of God in Jesus Christ is the head alone. And salvation through Christ alone. And that's all. Look here. See, that simplifies the religion issue. It simplifies the salvation issue. God did not mean for salvation to be so complex. Well, you believe in Christ, then you get baptized, then you speak in tongues, then you hold out faithful to the end, then you join our church, then you do this, then you do that. No, that's not biblical salvation. Biblical salvation is Jesus Christ is salvation. He alone is salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, that's very simple. You trust Christ, you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's very simple. You are saved because you trusted Christ. You're going to heaven. You didn't do that, you're not. Period. It's not about person's religion, belief, philosophy. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did. And you trust Christ and get saved. See, that's simple. I couldn't tell you how many times I have led people to Christ involved in religions. And we get down to the point of, would you be willing to trust Christ and ask him to save you? They said, yes. And after they prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save them from their heart, they trusted him for their salvation alone and nothing else. And then they asked Christ to save them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when they got done, they looked up at me and they said, I just can't believe it was that simple. It's simple because God did the hard part. We're left the easy part. How can we mess that up? See how complicated it gets? A Christian, look at me. Friend, look at me. Your life is the same on the same format. Look now. Do what the Bible says. God will bless you for that. My book of Isaiah chapter 1 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Well, what else? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God told the children of Israel when they went to the promised land, he goes, I want to put half of you over here on this mountain, Ebal. I want you to put your mount on this other mountain. And these guys on this side are going to tell you how much I'm going to curse you if you don't do right. And these guys are going to tell you how much I'm going to bless you. And then he said, tell them, I present to you life and death. Choose life. You mean he should have to tell us that? Right? He should have to say, would you like to live or die? Would you choose life? Should we have to be told to make the choice? Should we? Or should it be like a no-brainer? That's how come we all got flat foreheads? Duh, I get it. Yeah, choose life. God says, you do what I tell you, I'll bless you for it. He says, you don't, I'm going to come down on you for it. Pretty basic. It's, look here, it's just simple. My friend, this morning, your life may be very complicated right now. Now, what do we do? Okay, look at me. Simplify your thinking, first of all. Don't look at the mess of your life and throw your hands in the air and wring your hands and go, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. It's not wrong to not know what to do. It's wrong to not take the solution for what you're supposed to do. Simplify your thinking. Here's the way you simplify it. What does the Bible tell me to do? What is the answer in the Word of God? I've got to know and I've got to do it. You simplify your thinking. Basically, you do the opposite of what Adam and Eve did. You just listen. You don't listen to the wrong person anymore. Please stop taking polls, surveys in life. Dear friend, stop listening to your friends. Stop listening to what television tells you you should do. That goes for media, programs, movies, all that kind of stuff. Well, that was an interesting thing. Did you hear about the one where God is a black woman in a house and a guy goes in the house and I think, what is wrong with you? Have you lost your ever-loving cotton-picking mind? Your brain shrunk down to the size of a pea at night and rolled out your ear and fell off the pillow. It's under the bed somewhere. Go find it. Instead of simplify your thinking. Listen now, stop listening to the wrong influences. Then, number two, simply turn to the Word of God and do what it says. Children of Israel had the same principle. They're out there, wilderness journeys from Egypt, going to the Promised Land. God put a pillar of smoke out there every day and a pillar of fire by night. And here's what he told them. When that thing moves, you move. When it stops, you stop. Pretty basic. Led 3 million plus people across the wilderness in groups and ranks by simply going, it's moving, let's go. That's all they had to know. So here, ladies and gentlemen, here today is your pillar of smoke and pillar of fire to lead you in the daytime and nighttime of life. Simplify your thinking. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Say, I don't know all the Bible. I don't know how to make a decision based on that. Okay, then friend, learn it. What the point of church isn't really so we can come here and display our goods. This ain't a museum. If it's a hospital, then we're here to get healthy and go on about life. But the truth is, the point of church is to learn the Bible. So you go to Sunday school, 10 o'clock, Sunday morning. You come, sit in a class, learn the Bible. Start your children young so they can begin to learn the Bible. What they learn as a child, they'll remember the rest of their life. Then you go to the morning service, evening, Wednesday night, Bible study, preaching. You get the Word of God here. Listen, then you take it home with you. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. We take it home with you and read it. Start in the front. Read to the back. Very simple process. As time goes on, you'll want to study and learn a bit more from it. But initially, just read it. It would surprise you how many people who own a Bible have never read it cover to cover one time in their life. Talking with a man on an airplane one day, Mr. Crick. Well, I can't embrace the Bible. You see, I'm a college education and professor and I guess I was supposed to be impressed. And he said, I just have serious issues with the creation principle and the concept, and I have issues with an ark and, animals. Come on. I mean, and I said, well, I said, have you ever read the Bible? Read it many times. Good. I said, what do you think about the book of the New Jerusalem? Would you like that book? Yes, it happened to be one. It would be very instructive and informative to me. I go, you lying. You lying sucker, you. Ain't no book of New Jerusalem in here. Then I had to check the index and make sure I was right. But anyway, man, they ain't in my Bible. Unbelievable. Folks, seriously, we say we believe the Bible, but do we know enough of it to believe to live by so we don't complicate the life that we already have? And when you know what the Bible says, do it. If it says, don't do this, here we go. Now follow this. This is deep. Don't do it. When the Bible says, do this, do it. That simple. Oh, Pastor, you understand. I had somebody tell me one day, do you realize how much that's going to mess up my life? Your life's already messed up, so you can't mess it up any worse than it already is. Secondly, mess up what? Mess up your stubborn thinking and living? Yeah, that'll mess it up. create a little humility in your heart and life, that's good for us. And then to step up and say, okay, I don't understand it all, God, but I'll do what you tell me to do. See, again, we'll go back to that thing we started with. That's God's answer. I don't understand it all, but I have found out doing it my way has created the complex problems of my life. Doing it God's way has resolved them. So everything's falling in line for you, Pastor Johnson. No, I'm still working at it, and I'm still working on it. Life is too complex for all that simplicity, Pastor Johnson. Boy, and it's getting more complex at the moment, aren't they? Figure it out. It isn't working out my way. And we don't have time to waste. This is the end of the month of September of 2009. We're going to be sitting down eating turkey pretty soon. Thank God for that. And then it's Christmas. And we're into 2010. Before we know it, we'll be batting an eye. We don't have time to waste. Look at me. You don't have life to experiment with. Then it gets away from you. Then we go, oops, shouldn't have done that. Yeah, but you wasted time getting there. Our life is complex because we left God out and His Word. Our life will simplify if we'll do what the Bible tells us to do. Two people 6,000 years ago started the complexities of our life. But don't blame Adam and Eve. We've made our own mess. We've made our own issues. We've all stood in line at the airport trying to figure out which gate to go to. And you look at your ticket. My wife and I were flying somewhere. Went there back east and we're going to Boston, I believe it was. And the two gates, 23A and 23B, were right beside each other. They're leaving a couple minutes apart. And I looked at 23A and saw it and said, okay, that's the one. We walk over, I hand the ticket to the lady. She goes, thank you very much. I go in. We sit down. We're going to Boston. Sit down on the airplane. Door closes. Starts to push back. Stewardesses get out their life vest jackets and all that stuff, which frankly aren't going to do you any cotton picking good. But anyway. And they said, now we want to welcome you today to our flight going to Fort Myers, Florida. And I went, oh. And the stewardess was standing right there. I said, excuse me, ma'am. I am on the wrong airplane. I'm supposed to go to Boston. She said, this is not going to Boston. I said, yes, ma'am. I know that. I said, but. Wrong plane. She was just a minute. She went up the front. They stopped. They had to pull the plane back up to the gate, open the doors. And my wife and I had to get out and walk in front of about 120 really ticked off people. Well, wait a minute. Two people checked our ticket and let us get on that airplane. And it's their fault, not mine. I just made a simple mistake. They let me get on the wrong airplane. And I told my wife, I don't know, I've never been to Fort Myers, Florida. It might be kind of nice down there. I'd like to go to Boston. Hadn't been there up to that point. I said, I'd like to go there too, but Fort Myers wouldn't be bad. So we're running out of the plane, running over to the next gate to go, and then they had to pull that plane up and open the doors to let us in. And then we had another 120 people on the other plane ticked off at us too. But see, it wasn't my fault because those ticket people should have been paying attention. You say, no, Pastor Johnson, you're responsible to make sure you get on the right airplane. Uh-huh. And we live our lives, well, it's not my fault, it's this way. Uh-huh. You've got the book now. Satan says, nah, that can't answer all the problems in 2009. God says it's all there. It's everything you need. Beware lest Satan beguile you, like he did Adam and Eve, of the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. The simplicity that is in Christ. That's what I don't like about this church, Pastor Johnson. You people just, you live in a dream world. You don't understand how complex it is. No, I'm not living in a dream world, friend. I'm living in the real world. And my feet are on a solid rock, and my path is established. And I know where I'm going. I know what God wants me to do. I don't know about tomorrow, but then I don't have to. He does. God has helped me to deal with the issues of my life up to this point. And every time I follow the Bible, it works out the way God says. And every time I leave it out, it gets complicated. Very, very complicated. Simplify your thinking. Get back to trust in the Word of God. Don't let anybody or anything put a doubt in your mind that the Bible's right. God will straighten this stuff out. And He'll take a complicated mess And he'll straighten that thing out. He'll make a path so clear you'll know exactly. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.